May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 218, 218. Mercy is welcome news indeed to those that guilty stand. Wretches that feel what help they need will bless the helping hand. Hymn 218.
turn in the Word of God this evening to the Gospel recorded by Mark, chapter 2. Mark, the second chapter. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemously? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And he went forth again by the seaside. And all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. and the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they come and say unto him, Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. Then shall they fast in those days. No man also soweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment. Else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. And his disciples began, as they went, to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto them, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? He said unto them, Have ye never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered? He and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Help us again, O Lord God Almighty, to call upon thy holy name, draw near now unto us in this the evening hour of the day, draw us near unto thee by faith, and may we worship at Emmanuel's feet. We come before thee as sinners. We plead that blood which did once for sin atone. May it speak this evening in heaven before the throne of God, and also in our own hearts of peace with God, of that free, full, eternal pardon for sin. Of a place in heaven at last with thee, when the journey of life is done here below. Teach us, Lord, to value that precious blood teach us to flee to the wounds of Jesus. And may our glory with the apostle be in the cross of Christ and not in anything else. Bless unto us thine own word. We thank thee for it. Make it manna from heaven. Make it the water of life to our souls. Make it the message of life to us. May, Lord, there be a power in thy word. May it have an effect, an impact, an influence in our lives this week and in time to come. Bless those gathered around thy word this evening, and those in their own homes with little ones or for other reasons. Remember the unseen congregation, those online. May, Lord, they receive a portion for their souls, as well as those in the house of God here this evening. Bless thy word and gospel unto us. Bless thy word as it is preached here week by week, and as it goes forth in the free Bibles outside this house of God. Lord, may they be blessed to those whose hands they fall into. Lord, in the great day of judgment, may it be seen that there has been a copious harvest from that venture of faith. Bless the church and congregation here. Do supply their every need. Do direct them in their pathways, both as a church and as individuals. Grant them to know the way in which they should go. Grant them to know thy presence with them, thy smile bestowed. Help the deacons in the choice of the hymns which are sung, and help the people as they sing. Give them, Lord, an understanding of what they sing and a love to what they sing. May they enter into it by faith. Help thy servants as they preach here. Own and bless thy word. Crown thy gospel with abundant success. Grant, Lord, thee gracious increase in the church and in the congregation. Add to the church those whom thou hast saved, who can tell that Christ is precious to them. Add unto the congregation both those whom thou hast saved and those whom thou wilt save under the preaching of thy word here. And bless, Lord, thy gospel in this land. Prosper the churches wherever thy people love thy name, wherever thy gospel is preached faithfully, wherever thy name is recorded. Lord, be with each congregation. Pour out thy blessing upon thy people throughout this world, we pray. Mighty, let the gospel be. Set the burdened sinner free. Father, with thy blessing, the labours in the Sunday school this afternoon. And grant the teachers that encouragement to go on. Together with thee. In that calling thou hast called them to. Remember those who are elderly and infirm in the evening time of life's journey. Help them in old age and weakness and weariness. Be with them, be their helper, their strength, their support, their guide. May their thoughts often turn to eternity. And where they will spend it. Well, Lord, we must all spend it somewhere. Remember those in the midst of life. Help them with its burdens and needs and busy scenes and cares. Help them to bear the burden of the day in employment, in parenthood. And may they too often consider eternity and where they will spend it. Then, Lord, remember those who are young, the very dawn of life, all before them. Lord, early in life, may they come to know thee as their Lord and Saviour. Lord, may they too think of eternity and where they will spend it. Or how soon life will be done. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay and all around we see. O thou who changest not, abide with us. Remember any who need thee in any special way at this time. Help them, Lord. Draw near unto them. Give them all sufficient grace and all sufficient strength and wisdom. Lord, may they find grace in the eyes of the Lord. And pour out thy blessing upon them. Remember those who are seeking thee. Grant that they may be finders of thee. Remember those who have found thee. You have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Give them fresh tastes of thy grace, fresh visits from thy love, that growth in grace, that growth in fruit, that more establishing in thy word, that deeper knowledge of thee. Bless thy word in our land and defend it, we pray. Open the eyes of our rulers, those in the royal house. Lord, remember our king in his illness. May he consider his latter end. Remember also the Prince and Princess of Wales with the cloud over them and the Princess's health. May they be taught to cast their cares on thee at such a time as this. Remember those in government, the Prime Minister and the Cabinet, and those in our Parliament. Teach them to pray, Lord. And then, Lord, remember those in the national church. Lord, open their eyes. Teach them also to pray. Teach them also of their need of thee. Bring them to a saving knowledge of thee. And then, Lord, may they not be ashamed or afraid to publish that knowledge of thee and to defend thy cause, no matter what the cost may be. And do grant, Lord, those better days in this land, that returning to thee, the God, we have so long as a land forsaken. Lord, may we yet prove thou hast not forsaken us. Help us this evening. Pour out showers of blessing upon us according to thy word. Open to us the treasures of thy word. Give us hearts and ears of faith to believe unto eternal life. Speak unto us, we ask. We ask in the all-prevailing, the precious name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 1096. 1096. Oh, what dangers, all distressing, snare each morning pilgrim's feet. Gloomy sorrows, still increasing, swell the present changing state. Hymn 1096.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help, I venture to ask you this evening to turn to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 2, the closing part of the opening verse. "And it was noised that he was in the house." And it was noised that he was in the house. Perhaps this seems to be a strange text to give out. And perhaps you wonder what on earth I am going to say. I did too when the Lord gave me this text. But if the Lord helps us this evening, we may find that there is some preciousness and some encouragement in this rather unusual text. "And it was noise that he was in the house." Because the fact that he was in this house made all the difference to what took place in the subsequent verses. It wouldn't have happened had he not been there. The Lord Jesus Christ is in the very early days of his ministry. He is at the height of his popularity and fame. Crowds are going wherever he is to hear him preach and to see the miracles of healing which he is doing and the other miracles that he performs. "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them." As soon as it is published in Capernaum that Jesus is going to speak in this house, or is already speaking, that's enough to draw the crowd. So much so that it overflows and spills out. To outside. And no doubt many of them came for various different reasons. Some of them came because they already had a love for the Lord. And were already learning to feed on his word. Others came because they marveled and were interested at the wonderful miracles of healing which he was doing. But they weren't coming for their soul's benefit. We have here the scribes mentioned, and the Pharisees. And in this chapter we have the first account of them beginning to oppose the Lord Jesus Christ. They certainly didn't come for the right reasons. But there were at least five who came because they had a need. This man, sick of the palsy, and his four friends. This word palsy is an old-fashioned word for paralysis. He had been well, but due to illness, he can no longer move. He can't walk. So he has to be carried to the Lord by his friends. And did they not show a love to him in bringing him here? And they weren't satisfied until he was at the feet of Jesus. They didn't have exactly an easy journey, did they? When they came to the door, it was overflowing. There was this big hindrance. How were they going to get this man to the feet of Jesus? But they wouldn't go away until this man lay at the feet of Jesus. And it was noise that he was in the house. They had heard of Jesus. They hear that he's in this house. And they bring this man. Because all five of them have the faith to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ can heal this man of his sickness. They had either seen or heard him heal others. And that gave them the faith and the confidence to believe that he would heal this man too. That's why they came. They were not disappointed, were they? They didn't come in vain. They let this man down through the roof. And here he is, laying at the feet of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, see, Jesus sees. He sees our faith, he sees our unbelief. He sees our doubts and fears as well as our confidence. He sees our sins and he hears our prayers. He sees everything. And it was noise that he was in the house. Friends, how often has it been noise that Jesus is in this house? Is that why you have come this evening? Because you've heard that he's here? Because you believe that he will be here according to his word? That where his people gather, there he surely is? Have you, like this man, come with a need? Is that why you're here? Are you here because you have a love for the Lord and therefore where he is, there you would be? You want to hear his word? It's the right way to come. And the true worshippers who come like that, seeking for Jesus, seeking by faith that their needs be supplied. And he sees your faith just as clearly as he saw the faith of these men. And he has not lost his power, either to heal or to forgive. Now he's in heaven. Remember that. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." It seems that that is not what he was expecting. He had come to receive literal healing in his body. But first of all, the Lord Jesus deals with that greater sickness and that greater need he has in his soul before he deals with his bodily needs. And God is a sovereign in that. And God has a right so to do. And he has a right perhaps to answer a different need that you expect when you come to the house of God. Friends, seek the blessing which this man is given. Son, seek that the Lord might say to you, son or daughter, and that he might deal with you as children of God, that you may have an evidence that you too are among his family, for whom he has a love for whom he has a care for whom you are on his heart. And although we may not necessarily say literally the words son or daughter, if he, in your experience, provides your needs as a father does his children, then you have that evidence that you are among the sons and daughters of the Almighty. And he has a love, he has a care, he has a concern for each one who is favoured to be among the sons and daughters of God. There's pardon, there's forgiveness. If the Lord says to you, son or daughter, and if the Lord has given you a promise from his word, it is because you are a son and daughter of the Almighty. And how favoured will we be this evening if we could hear the Lord say to us what he said to this man. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. First of all, he calls him son. He declares him among the family of God. He owns him as a son. He wasn't ashamed either to own him as a son, to receive him as a son, and to declare before this vast company that he was a son. We read in the Hebrews, he's not ashamed to call them brethren. He's equally not ashamed to call them sons and daughters. Such is his love. And although he was a sinner, That didn't prevent him from being in the family of God, did it? And without exception, each one of the vast members of this family, all are sinners in God's sight. Son, thy sins. Let's stop there for a moment. Thy sins. We've all got sins, you know. And they, without exception, therefore, can be called ours. We own them, whether we like it or not. We have committed them. And God has noticed that we've committed them. He's seen it. He's heard it. He's noted it. And we are accountable for those sins. We must all, we are told, give an account before God of how we've lived. Thy sins. And what matters, friends, is what God thinks of our sins, not what we think of them. We might not think much of them, but God does. We might easily forgive ourselves them, but that's not our right. In the day of judgment, it won't be whether you've forgiven yourself, it'll be whether God's forgiven you that will count. We might try and explain it away. Say that there were mitigating circumstances for why we did what we did. It doesn't explain away the guilt. It doesn't take away the guilt, friend, that will lie against your door. Thy sins. What are sins? Sins are when we fail to do what God in his revealed will has told us we should do. When we fail to live according to the standard he has set forth for us in his word, and particularly in the Ten Commandments, every time we fail to do that, whether it is in what we say, whether it is in what we do, whether it is in what we think, or whether it is a wrong motive for what we are doing, we sin. And as one of our hymns observes, though all are sinners in God's sight, there are but few so in their own. Are you a sinner in your own sight as well as God's? Until you are, the gospel won't mean anything to you. Until you come to take your sin seriously, you will hear in vain. When you are brought to what it is to be a sinner and to realize something of the consequences of those sins, that will make you desire the blessing which this man was given. And it was noise that he was in the house. And that burden of sin will bring you into the house of God, where you know the Lord is, where you know the Saviour is preached. Because then you will learn to love the gospel as it is preached. Because you will have been brought to need it. And it was noise that he was in the house. Now the Lord Jesus here says to this man, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. All of them. He doesn't exclude any. He includes them all. The big sins, the biggest sins, and those that perhaps he might have considered were not so big, this man. Friends, in one sense, you know, there's no such thing as a little sin. But you know, even your, what you may view as a little sin, even that needs to be forgiven by God. You can't even forgive the least of your sins. And the least of your sins is bad enough to shut you out of heaven forever and shut you in hell. That's how bad sin is. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. What is it to be forgiven by God? It means that God gives his word that he will not punish us eternally for what we have done. It means that God gives his word he will no longer be angry with us for what we have done. It means that God will no longer hold our sins against us personally. And the Lord Jesus alone knew the cost it would be to him personally to say to this man, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." In saying this, he was undertaking to bear the load of this man's sin 3 years later on the cross. "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And it was noise that he was in the house. And if you are seeking for forgiveness, seek to be where Jesus is. In his house, in his word, under the preaching of the word. It has pleased God, we are told, through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And most often the Lord uses the ministry of the word to bring salvation to the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Forgiven because of the love and mercy which is in God's heart for this man. Forgiven for the love and mercy which is in God's heart for all his sons and daughters. And if tonight you don't feel to be among the sons and daughters, ask him to put you among this family. Ask him to show you that his mercy and love extends to you. Plead the word of the hymn writer. "Plenteous grace with thee is found. Grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound, make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art. Freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart, rise to all eternity." You know, he will not be offended if you use the language of the hymn writer in prayer or the language of Scripture. Seek, friends, this blessing of forgiveness. It's vital. There's no heaven without it. There's no peace without it. There's no lasting joy without it. There can be no greater blessing or treasure given to you than this simple statement, which is given to this man to be given to you by God. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And it did not matter that the scribes or the Pharisees were not happy about it. They couldn't reverse this blessing, could they? That this man had been given. And friend, it does not matter if Satan may rage against what God has done for you or what he's given you. He cannot reverse one of God's blessings which he's given to you. One of his promises. One of his declarations of forgiveness. He may try and undermine your confidence in it. He may try and say that God never said it to you, but he cannot reverse the blessing, blessed effect of the word. And it was noised that he was in the house. And beloved friends, if by faith you come into the house of God because you know it is noised that he is here, and he says that to you, you will rejoice. You'll be glad you came. You won't want to leave. You will have a love for the house of God then. Because you will have met your Jesus here. Your Emmanuel here. He would have spoken to you here. And that will give you a love to the place. Some of you know what it means, do you not? There was a time when you hated to come. Now you love to come. What's changed? Your heart's changed. That's what's changed. God has called you by grace. You found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Saved by grace. It's one of the marks of the sheep if you love the house of God, because Jesus is here. And it was noise that he was in the house. But how sad that the scribes immediately, they aren't happy. They begin to complain and reason. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Well, of course, in one sense, they're right in this, that only God can forgive sins. That's right. Where they were wrong is they were not recognizing that Jesus was God and man in one. And they were already without excuse. First of all, as scribes, it was their task to write out God's law and the Old Testament. And there must have been many times when they'd written out prophecies of the Saviour coming. But they had been blind to them. They were without excuse because they had already seen with their own eyes, as it is said in the previous chapter, of how Jesus had already healed many that were sick, how he had already cast out many devils. They were already seeing with their own eyes the proof that this was no ordinary man. But yet they're still living in unbelief. And even though the Lord Jesus here confronts them with what's in their hearts, you notice they didn't speak out loud. here. And Jesus tells them what's in their hearts because he could see. He knows what's in your heart this evening. But even that doesn't convince them. No wit or will of man, or learning he may boast. No power of reason can draw sinners unto Christ. So fallen is nature, such her flaw, none come, except the Father draw. It was noise that he was in the house. Friends, we are no different by nature. How many times have we heard of the miracles that the Lord Jesus has done? And yet, do we really believe in his name? Or are we no different to the scribes? Friends, if you do not love the Lord, you're no different. If you do not yet see your need of him, you're no different. Ask God then not to leave you to be a scribe or a Pharisee, because notice, it's not recorded once, I don't think, in our Lord's earthly ministry that he ever said to a scribe or a Pharisee, thy sins be forgiven thee. Of course, we know afterwards that the Apostle Paul was called by grace. But I think in his earthly ministry we don't hear of one Pharisee or scribe called. They were religious men, the most religious of their day. The Pharisees were very diligently, outwardly, in trying to keep the law. But yet that did not forgive their sins. That did not save them. And in one sense, they are being hypocritical here, because they had Jesus spoken to them of their sins, they would have soon risen up. And in fact, I suspect it's one of the reasons why they did hate him, because they were convicted under the word which he preached here of their sins. And the solemn thing is, with this group of people, that in the day of judgment, they will see going to heaven some who on earth they despised as being among the greatest of sinners, while they are left behind. And it was noise that he was in the house. And immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit they so reasoned. And he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. I wonder, though it is not stated, I wonder if part of this man's burden was that he already had a conviction of sin. We're not told, are we? Maybe that was part of the reason he wanted to come. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way unto thine own house. Two things here. First of all, he's answering to the Pharisees that he is stating publicly in his forgiveness of this man that he has the power. That is, he has the ability that he has the right, while he is on earth, to forgive sins. And he has that right because he is God, Almighty God. The hymn says, "This wondrous man of whom we speak is true Almighty God. He bought our souls from death and hell, the price his own heart's blood." But then it could be interpreted, and some haven't interpreted it, that as an evidence that he could forgive sins, he now heals this man of his palsy. He saved the sick of the palsy. In other words, he's saying to the Pharisees, as a proof that I have the power to forgive sins, I am now going to heal this man before you. "I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine own house." And of course, the fruit of that is that they are then amazed. They see before them, in the healing of this man, that the Lord Jesus has that right, has that power, has that ability to forgive sins as well as to heal this man of his sickness. And so this man arises and leaves and goes his way. What benefit and blessing he had obtained from lying at the feet of Jesus. The Lord had far exceeded what he had asked for. Seek, friends, when you come to worship, that you may be found at the feet of Jesus, because that's where you are going to receive healing in your soul. That's when you are going to receive profit under the word. It's not through the eloquence or experience of any minister. It is only as God speaks through the minister of power unto your soul that you will be fed or watered. But it will be at the feet of Jesus, nowhere else. Not at the feet of any minister, but at the feet of Jesus. The place of humility. This man he's laying down, he's not even sitting. He's laying, he couldn't get any lower, could he? Friends, seek to be the lowest. He may have been the lowest, but he was the most blessed of that this vast assembly, was he not? We don't read the Lord said to anyone else, this vast company that day, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And you'll never think you're laid too low if Jesus on you pity show. And it was noise that he was in the house. But then the Lord did not neglect the need, the great need he had in his body. And he healed him of his palsy, just as he healed countless others of diseases. The leper, the leprosy, the blind, you open their eyes. Sometimes you raise the dead. And it is, friends, not wrong for you to bring your providential needs to God in prayer. Sometimes the devil may tell you it is. It's not. It is wrong if we only bring our providential needs and neglect the needs of our soul, but it's not wrong to bring your providential needs to God in prayer. In fact, it would be wrong not to. Don't let the devil try and silence you in that regard, because he will try. And is that one of the reasons why some of your needs have not been supplied? Because you've been trying to cope on your own? Because you've been trying to go in your own strength? You've been trying to sort it out in your own efforts and strength and relying on that? Is there not a cause why all these things are befalling you? It was noise that he was in the house. Learn this lesson, that for as long as we are upon earth, we'll need a God of providence as well as a God of grace. And he is a willing God of providence. So whatever your need is in providence, bring it to him. There is nothing too small beneath his notice. He will not be offended. Equally, there is nothing too large that he cannot do. He can do anything. He proved that on earth, did he not? Do you think now he's in heaven that he is less able to help you in your providence you'll need? And he who has made your heaven secure will here all good provide. While Christ is rich, you can't be poor. What can you want beside? Yes, it does not necessarily mean he will answer in the way you would want him to, or necessarily in the timing you would want him to. God's a sovereign. You see, he sees what we need. We see what we want. We see what we think we need. There's a difference between what you need and what you want. God never promises to give you what you want. What he does promise is that I will supply all your need. May the Lord give us faith then to ask him to supply our needs rather than our wants, and to give us that grace to be content when he does supply them. And if he doesn't supply, to fall under it. That for now you don't need it. He may supply it later. But for now, he sees fit not to do so. There may be a reason. Well, there's always a reason. Ask God to show you that reason. There may be a reason why he delays. Ask him to show you what it is. But he promises whatever you need, he will supply. And it was noise that he was in the house. It'd be a solemn thing, would it not, if it was ever noise that he was not in this house? Because nothing would be done if he wasn't here. And friends, do not presume it. This is a precious word to encourage us, but it's also a word to encourage us to plead. Lord, thou hast been here. Lord, continue to abide here. We read of a church in the book of the Revelation, where it says, Christ was at the door knocking. There was a time when he was at the center of that church. And that's where he should be. He shouldn't be at the door, friends. He should be at the center, because it's his house. But something happened which made him move from the centre of that church to the door, and then outside that door, knocking. And friends, if he's outside the door, knocking, it means he's preparing to depart. We read of Nazareth when he preached. And when they rejected his ministry, we read that he, passing through them, went his way. And we never hear of him returning to Nazareth. He forsook them. So, friends, let us ever seek whether it be as a church or whether it be as individuals, that we may not do those things which offend him, which will cause him to go to the door. Let us seek that we may be exercised so to live and so to worship that he may always be found at the centre of the house as he is here and at the centre of our lives. It was noise he was in the house. It's noise he's in the house of some of your souls. And that's where he does dwell in his people. And that is the difference between life and death, spiritually. You know, sometimes he does withdraw. He doesn't forsake his people. He never does that. But he does sometimes withdraw the comfort of his presence, and there's always a reason for it. And often the reason is because of our sin, we've grieved him. May the Lord then give us that grace to seek that this text may be true always, whether it be in the house of God, whether it be in our own souls, that it may be noise that he is in the house, not outside, not absent. If God be for you, who can be against you? And the evidence he's for you is you will know him with you sometimes. Speaking to you, teaching you, influencing you. Friends, the opposite is equally true. If God be against you, who can be for you? And it was noised that he was in the house. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Timothy Pocock will preach tomorrow evening. On Friday evening, there'll be a church meeting at 7:30 to be followed by a prayer meeting for the members. And next Lord's Day, Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach, if the Lord will. On Saturday, the FGEA holds a meeting at Swavesey Primary School at 2:30. Let us close with hymn 1068. 1068. Jesus, full of all compassion, hear thy humble suppliant's cry. Let me know thy great salvation. See, I languish, faint and die. Hymn 1068.
May we be encouraged as we leave thy house this day, that as that man and his friends brought their needs to the right place, the feet of Jesus, so we too can bring our needs and the needs of our families and friends to the same place. Give us, Lord, that same precious faith to bring all our needs to thy feet and to leave them there and then watch what thou wilt do. Do forgive, O Lord, all that thou hast seen wrong in our worship of thy great and holy name here this day. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Take us under thy safe care and keeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen.